Hi, everyone. I'm Weihan, and it's a privilege to be part of this congregation, to have been part of this congregation for a long time. And I guess I'm wearing my congregational hat. Oh, somebody keeps putting that on screen. I'm also wearing my CMS hat as I come to you in this last in our sermon series, Growing Faith. If you've got a Bible, please keep it open to 2 Peter chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible, shame on you. Get one or open it on your mobile device. Let's pray as we come to God's Word together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the freedom we have to share in this moment, sitting under your word. We've already sung together, and the guys here, we've already shared around your table together. How wonderful it is to be together with our sisters and brothers in Christ, and how wonderful that you promise that we, where two or three gather in your name, there you are in the midst of them. So thank you for being with us. Please now come into our hearts and to our minds as we sit under your word. Encourage and strengthen us by your Spirit's power, that we might grow in our hope and in our faith in you, our Lord Jesus, mighty Savior, glorious King, and wonderful friend. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, dear friends, how do you know that you're growing in faith? How do you know that your faith in Christ Jesus is actually growing and not stagnating, not going backwards even? And if you're not yet a follower of Jesus and you're here with us today, a special welcome to you. We hope you have a wonderful time with us. Please don't leave without saying hello to someone. But what is it for you about real-life Christian people that you ought to expect to see in their lives? Faithful lives. Well, good news, 2 Peter chapter 3 gives us the answer. And you've wandered into the last in our short series, Growing Faith, and we come to the last chapter of Peter's letter to the churches. Peter's final words recorded for the edification of the church. Let's dive straight in. I've got three headings that will come on the screen. First heading, remember the word. Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Please look at it. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. That is, 2 Peter, which you've guessed comes after 1 Peter, is the second letter that he's written, we read in chapter 1, verse 1, to the churches in exile throughout the Mediterranean, the first century church spread throughout the Roman Empire. A church under persecution, they can see threats on the horizon, and this is Peter's second letter to them. And he writes, why did he find it necessary to write? The answer is in verse 1 again. Please look at it. I have written both these letters, 1 Peter and 2 Peter, I've written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking, as a reminder to stimulate you to life-giving thinking. How we think is so important to our lives, isn't it? If you were once a young 20-something-year-old and you decided to get into a black goth music phase and listen to a lot of heavy metal, suicidal, depressive lyrics, that had a certain impact on your life, didn't it? I'm not speaking from personal experience here, but you know. Or if you are a young person, or there's a young person in your life today who listens to incessant amounts of Taylor Swift, you know, they end up thinking, me, I'm the problem, it's me, or my loser boyfriends, something like that. That's why self-esteem and confidence is so important in our educational system, because we've worked out that our self-talk, what happens in our heads, actually has such a real impact on our lives. How does the Apostle Paul express this? You know the words in Romans 12, he says, be transformed, how? By the renewing of your minds. That's right. Well, Peter's saying exactly the same thing here. I'm writing to stimulate you to wholesome or to life-giving thinking. How? We read verse 2, I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets. That is, I want you to remember the Old Testament word and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. That is, he wants them to remember the New Testament words. In other words, Peter says, be stimulated to life-giving thinking by remembering the word, remembering the scriptures. Be programmed not by the words and lyrics and ideas and websites and newspapers of the world, but by God's word. And what has God's word told these first century Christians in this chapter? Two things to note. First thing that God's word is saying to the first century Christians is, in these last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. Verse 3. Now, I had to look this up because scoffer is not a word I use every week in daily conversation. A scoffer is someone who, wait for it, who scoffs. Someone who speaks about others or things in a scornfully derisive or mocking kind of way, a mocker. And the last days, this phrase, the last days, is code for these days. It's Bible code for all of the days between Jesus' ascension, when he went up to heaven, and Jesus' promise coming again. So the last 2,000 years have been these last days, this entire time, entire period of history between his ascension and his promised return. And what the Bible says is throughout this entire period, there will be scoffers who mock the Christian faith. Scoffers who deride the things that Christians believe because we read them in the Bible. Well, we don't have to look very far to find scoffers, do we? They abound. And their points of difference and disagreement with the Bible also abound. The list is very long. Morality and ethics, human identity, the meaning of human existence, systems of justice and government, what flourishing looks like, how to die a good death. Scoffers scoff at the Christian view of all those things. God's word is right. In these last days, scoffers will come. Here they are, and here they will always be until Christ returns. Be prepared for them. First point, in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. And secondly, and specifically here in 2 Peter 3, they will deride and deliberately forget God's promise that Jesus will return to judge the world. Verse 4, they will say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." Jesus said, didn't he, in the Gospels, that he will return. But where is he? That was 2,000 years ago. And didn't Paul write that, you know, Jesus, the Lord, is coming soon? How soon is soon? And at the end of John's Gospel, Jesus spoke of his disciple, that this disciple will not taste death until I return. So where's this return? Remember God's word. The scoffers have forgotten, deliberately forgotten, according to verse 5. They deliberately forget that long ago God's word came into that, God's word, by God's word, the heavens came into being, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. That is, these scoffers, even though they know the book of Genesis is there, chapters 7 through to 9 are there, they deliberately forget. They've forgotten that long ago God created the world by his word. And they forgot that long ago, in the time of Noah, God looked upon the evil and wickedness and brokenness of the world and judged it by sending the flood to destroy everything and wipe everything away except Noah and his family. And these scoffers also then deliberately forget the words of Jesus in the Gospel, specifically Matthew chapter 24 and 25, where he promises to come again to rescue the faithful and the downtrodden, to judge and to destroy the ungodly and the unmerciful by fire. We read in verse 7, "By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly." So, dear friends, our first point, growing faith. How do we have wholesome, life-giving faith? By remembering God's word. And remembering that God's word says, in the last days there will be scoffers, and that scoffers will deliberately forget and deride Jesus' promise to come again in holy judgment. And that's basically right, isn't it? The world does not agree with the word on many points. And the world, especially our minority world, with all of its riches and its obsession with health and security and peace, is especially allergic to any notion of Christ returning to judge, and to judge by fire at that. Remember the word. Our second heading, remember God's patience means salvation. Growing faith looks like remembering God's patience means salvation. We read verse 8. Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Now, these are simply great memory verses to put into your brain, great truths to implant into your mind and heart and to live by. With the Lord, 1,000 years is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years. 2,000 years since Jesus, that's just 48 hours to God. And the Lord is not slow to keep his promise, but his heart, his will, his passion is that none should perish, but everyone come to repentance and eternal life. Or in the words of verse 15, as you heard Jill read it, the Lord's patience means salvation. The Lord's patience means salvation. You know, the heart of God towards every woman and man and child from every tribe and tongue and people and nation is that they should each turn to Jesus in repentance and faith and live and receive from him his promise of eternal life. That is why God is waiting. That is why Jesus is twiddling his thumbs on the Father's right hand in heaven. Well, he's not twiddling his thumbs. He's interceding for us mightily. Sorry, Lord. That is why God is patiently holding back the day of Christ's return, because God's patience means salvation for all who might yet call on him to believe. Now, at this moment, let's take a deep breath and just acknowledge somewhere between mysteriously and frustratingly for us that in God's perfect plan, this is a good and perfect thing that he is patient. For reasons we can't comprehend, God is patient and he's allowing human history to roll forward with all of our glorious achievements, as well as with all of our horrendous evil. You know, just think about the last 100 years, you know, 1920 to 2020. Just think about the last 100 years. How glorious it's been in terms of our technological and agricultural and medical and economic and social advancement the last 100 years. How much life expectancy has improved, and standards of healthcare and human flourishing, and think of the cultural achievements of the last century. God's patience has meant so many good things for millions upon millions of people, literally. And yet, in the exact same period of time, our human capacity and ability to inflict violence and suffering and oppression and evil on one another has also multiplied. We know that wars have not ceased. The rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. That's how you get election results of the kind that we've seen across the world, in Brazil and the Philippines and Indonesia and France and Austria and in the US. Concentration of capital and power in the hands of fewer and fewer people is not a good thing, and it will not end well. History tells us it never ends well for any society that doesn't find a way to change that. It's Lord Acton's dictum, isn't it? Power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. The Bible knows it, and has always called it original sin. God's patience means we see both growing, don't we? Our capacity for good and nobility, as well as our capacity for evil and brokenness. And God's patience means salvation for any who would believe, any who would repent and come to Christ while there is still time. Please notice with me that this is a limited time offer. God's mercy is inextricably linked to God's justice. He's both perfectly loving and kind and merciful, and also perfectly just and wise and fair. And all wrongdoing and evil and sin, no matter how large or small, must be paid for. And payment will come. Payment will come due one day. And suddenly at that, we read verse 10, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Jesus himself says, I don't know the day and time, only the Father knows. So, while the time is now, while it is today, do not forget. Remember God's word. And remember that God's patience means salvation. While it is today, you can say yes to God's offer of forgiveness and relationship. While it is today, your friends and your family who do not yet know Christ can say yes to Jesus. It's really simple. All you need to do is say, yes, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that I need to repent before you and I need you to save me from my own brokenness. I need you to save me from my own complicity in this broken world. You know, the clothes that I wear, how some child laborer maybe put on the buttons. The electronic devices I enjoy and actually need to do my job and earn money with. You know, where do you think their batteries and rare earth materials came from? And what systems of economic injustice led to their production and coming into my hands? My own heart constantly wanders to selfishness and self-centeredness. How I need your forgiveness and help, Lord Jesus. How I need you to make sense of my life in this compromised world. I need you today. You know, you can say that to Jesus today if you've never said it before, because God's patience means salvation, and you can come into the glorious hope that he has for each of his children. Please say yes to Jesus. If you need to talk to someone about what that means for the rest of your life, there are many, many here who'd absolutely love to have that conversation with you over a cup of tea later. Remember God's word and remember to live in the light of God's patience, meaning salvation. Well, thirdly and final heading, therefore, verse 11 forward. Therefore, be holy and at peace, be informed and stable, grow in grace and knowledge. Most of you who are regulars here at St. Alfson who have been inflicted with my preaching know that I have a favorite Bible game. Does anyone remember Weihan's favorite Bible game? What's it called? It's called If Weihan Were Writing the Bible. Remember that one? If Weihan Were Writing the Bible. So look at verse 11 with me. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you be? Now, if Weihan were writing the Bible, how would that verse finish? Right? Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you be? Well, he's Mr. CMS. You ought to get on with evangelism and world mission. People are dying apart from Christ. Get off your butts. Get on it. Get organized, get smart, put your money where your mouth is. Start telling the world about Jesus. Or maybe it goes like this. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you be? Well, you ought to round up the believers and strengthen them for the protection of the church against these scoffers. You ought to strengthen the church with teaching for the proclamation of the judgment to come. Build a wall
build Christian-only schools, fight to legislate for Christian morality, warn everyone of the wrath to come, bunker down and pray for God's judgment on the evil of this world to hurry up and come down, holy fire, come down now. Well, aren't you glad Weihan doesn't get to write the Bible? Please notice with me what God, in his infinite love and wisdom and justice and righteousness, actually causes Peter to write and inscripturate into God's word, which will go on into eternity. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. Dear friends, make no mistake, God's number one priority for us while we wait for the judgment to come is that we grow in holiness and in godliness. It's growing faith. Did you see that? God's call on our lives, while his patience means salvation for all who would repent, God's will for us is, in the words of this series, is that we might grow our faith and grow our maturity and grow our love and grow our hope and grow our passion to see his day come. Yes, we know, verse 12, that the day of fire is coming. But verse 13, we live as those who are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. And as we look forward, please look at the words with me of verse 14. We make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. We discipline ourselves into holy and godly lives. That means we put off one by one all of our besetting sins. I've got a very long list. I don't know about you. Those things that we know displease God in our lives and that we need his Holy Spirit to help us conquer. You know, there are plenty of lists, Corinthians, Ephesians, Galatians, Colossians. We put off those things and we bring forward in our lives the fruit of the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5. God's patience means salvation. Therefore, be holy and at peace with God. Therefore, also, verse 15, be informed and stable. Be informed and stable. Verse 15, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, to which every Christian said, no kidding, Peter, especially if you tried Romans 6-9, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do other scriptures to their own destruction. So very clearly, Peter was reading Paul's letters and agreeing with them. And Peter, the pastor, says, yeah, some bits are tough to understand. But that's no excuse at all to do what ignorant and unstable people do. He calls them ignorant and unstable people. They distort their meaning. No, don't be ignorant and unstable. Rather, be the opposite. Be informed and stable. That is, study the word. Inform yourself through good teachers. You know, some of my favorite good teachers, they are dead. You can still get their books. The books don't argue back. Get informed. Get biblically literate in the deep things of God's word. Right? God's wisdom is not some mystical religious secret like it is in some other religious faiths. No, we've got so much that's readily available to us in our bookshops, online, through our colleges. Commit the time and energy to grow in the depth of your understanding of the word of God. And with that renewing of your mind, with that verse 2 remembering of the word, will come stability in faith. Then you won't be tossed around by every new fad in teaching, every new prophet, or every self-declared new apostle. Did you know, dear friends, that the Ridley Online Certificate is now absolutely and completely free? Everyone loves a free deal. Certificate.ridley.edu.au, certificate.ridley.edu.au. You could do one. You could take the Ridley Certificate, Old Testament, New Testament, Mission.
Your small group could do it together. Set aside the time, watch the videos, learn, read the word, be informed and stable. The alternative, notice, is verse 17. Dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you might not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position. Satan is a cunning hunter. He longs to carry God's people away through the error of the lawless. That is, through wrong thinking by those who do not remember God's law or God's word. Please notice the warning there in verse 17. It is possible to fall from your secure position. Don't do it. Not recommended. Be on your guard. Be informed and stable, not ignorant and unstable, tossed around by every new teaching. God's patience means salvation. Therefore, be holy and at peace with God. Verse 11 to 14. Be informed and stable. Verse 15. And finally, grow in grace and knowledge. The very last verse of the letter. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. What does it mean to grow in grace and knowledge? Maybe it's because I'm a staunchly middle-aged person now. And I've been thinking a lot more about this recently. What does it actually mean to grow in grace and knowledge? Let's go back to the questions we asked at the outset. How do we know we're growing in faith, growing in grace and knowledge? How do we know our faith in Christ Jesus is actually growing and not stagnating, not going backwards? Well, in the past week, I've been thinking again about this old lady. Old lady is a term of respect, by the way. In my world, in the world of CMS, she's the Taylor Swift of CMS, right? She's super famous. And I've been wanting to meet her literally for over a decade. And I finally met her last year in Josh and Steph McKenzie's house. This is us sitting in their house in Numbawa last October. Her name is Yuki Nungumajba. Yuki was born in about 1936 or 37, and she was brought to the CMS mission at Rose River as a little girl. She came to church. She heard and she accepted the good news of Christ and began to follow Jesus. She heard the Bible stories and she allowed God's word to renew her mind, to inform her sense of meaning and purpose in life, to change her worldview and even her view of her own culture. And she learned that God's patience meant salvation for her and for all her people throughout Arnhem Land. You know, as a young girl, she went with her parents and the CMS missionaries at the time to help found the mission on Groot Island, where Sam and Beck Gorfine are going in January. Say hi to Simon Beck later at Angurugu. And through her long life, Yuki has been informed and stable in her faith. And she has functioned as a stable presence in a remote Aboriginal community context, which is anything but stable, pointing her family and her community to the truth about Jesus, to the Bible stories that meet them at their point of need. About 20 years ago, she was ordained, and shortly after, she became the first Aboriginal woman priest in the Anglican Church. Now, Yuki, in this photo, she's 87. She's 88 this year, which is exceptional longevity for an Aboriginal person today, isn't it? Everything we know about life expectancy. She's still serving her family and community, still hungry to see people come to Jesus for all the help and healing that they need. You know, we had the best conversation that day. And at one point, she said to me, speaking of herself, she said, you know, people ask why that old woman's still alive. Because Jesus is keeping her alive. Jesus make you strong. People need Jesus. Isn't that amazing? In her view, the only reason why she's still alive and sitting with all the suffering that she sits with all the health issues that she has,
in that context, in remote Aboriginal Australia, the only reason that she's there is because God's patience means salvation. It's so that people might give credit to Jesus for the old woman still being alive and come to him. Can I say that I want to grow old like Yuki Nungamajwa? Because she has found the answer, hasn't she, to those questions that we ask at the outset. That the meaning of her life is remembering God's word and remembering that God's patience means salvation and focusing all of her hopes and energies and prayers in that direction. You know, she's not obsessed about the many health problems that she has. She's not obsessed about healing. She's obsessed with the idea that people in her life whom she loves are dying apart from Christ, and she wants to stay alive that she might point them to him. Her body is old, but her faith is strong. Well, if you want to hear more from Yuki, you can check out a video at numbawa.com. I just found it again this week. I saw it some time ago. It's just a lovely couple of minutes of her speaking on camera, wearing a CMS t-shirt. I'm pretty proud of that. or you can talk to Josh and Steph about her life. They minister alongside her very closely in Numbawa. And if you want to hear more about growing faith, having a life that is centered on remembering God's word and remembering that God's patience means salvation for the world, then please come along to the CMS Missions Conference, SUTS 2025, samanasan.org. You can register right now. Maybe not right now. Just wait to the end of the sermon. Come and talk to one of us CMS people. We'd love to have you there as part of the encouragement to one another that we're in this together as we stand as the people of God, growing in holiness and godliness while we await our coming Savior. Remember the word. Remember God's patience means salvation. Therefore, be holy and at peace, be informed and stable, and grow in grace and knowledge. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words of your servant Peter to the church. We thank you that close to the end of his life in prison, these are the things that he chose to remind us of the sure certainty of the return of the Lord Jesus as judge to execute justice in the world. Thank you that he encouraged us and showed us that while we wait, we are to continue to remember all of your good promises in your word, and to remember especially that your patience, Lord, means salvation for all who would believe. Please grow in us more of your heart for the nations, for all who live apart from your loving kindness and rule. And please, Father, grow in us grace and knowledge, peace and holiness, godliness, love and righteousness while we wait. Thank you for your Spirit's presence with us today and for encouraging us. Please make us a voice of encouragement to one another this day. In Jesus' name, amen.